Okay, so I wanted to wrap up our discussion of Ein Bishlach Har Bishl with the Mordechai. Before we get to the Mordechai, Rabosai, I'm going to take a look again. If you look at this sugya, you really get a sense in this sugya how the halachic process works, and you'll see that how Rishonim look at Shas and are able to go ahead and piece together different sugyas and shas which seem to have nothing to do with each other, but somehow piece it together and then apply to our case. So we want to discuss today, halacha lemaisa, is what is the din if I have, let's say, the following scenario. I have a big pot of soup that I take off the fire, I want to dish out, and now I want to go ahead and take bread, because I like to take bread or matzah, and dip it into the soup, take a piece of bread and put it into the soup. Can I go ahead and take croutons and put it into the soup? Knei lachem, put it into the soup. Different things I want to put into my soup. Am I allowed to go ahead and do that in the pot itself? And what about in my bowl as well? That's the shalom we want to get to. And in order to do that, let's start with the Gemara Pesachim to get us started. So what's the issue that we're discussing? We're discussing the issue of the bread before Shabbos was baked. So it underwent the process of afia, and now by putting it into, let's say, the kli rishon, I'm going to put it into the big pot, so that would be a process of bishul. We said kli rishon is mevashel. That is a process of bishul. And do we assume ein bishul achar afia, or no, afia and bishul are different processes? It's a different way of getting food ready, and therefore maybe that's a new thing that's going on, and therefore I'm going to be chayav for it. If the iser, just in lamdas, if the iser, the reason for ein bishul achar bishul is because bishul is defined as rendering something from inedible to edible. So then if after you already did afia, is it edible?
Yes.
It's already edible, so a subsequent bishul is not really rendering it more edible, but perhaps that's not the idea. That's not the idea. The idea is there's some kind of tikkun involved, and maybe an afia after a bishul after an afia is also a tikkun, is a new process, is a new activity, and therefore will have significance. So where are we going to discuss, how are you going to explore this question? So the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Aleph Mem Aleph discusses Karban Pesach. And when it comes to the din of Karban Pesach, there is a halacha d'oraisa that the Karban Pesach must be eaten sli'esh. It must be roasted, number one, and it is not allowed to be cooked. It's not allowed to be cooked at all. You can't eat it raw. You have to eat it roasted, and it's an iser d'oraisa to have it mevusha. So the Gemara here has the following braisa. Bishlo ve'achar kach tzla'o. Let's say you did bishul, and then you did sli'a. Or in the alternative, sla'o v'achar kach bishlo. You roasted it, then you cooked it. So you have to roast it. So you're going to end up roasting it, but you did cooking, then roasting, or roasting and then cooking. What is the din? And the Gemara tells us, in both cases, chayv. You're going to be chayv, meaning you're violating the iser of bishlo of Karban Pesach. So the Gemara asks the kasha. Bishlema, in this case, bishlo v'achar kach sla'o. Yeah, I totally understand why you're chayav de habashle. Because did you cook the basar Karban Pesach? Yeah. You cooked the basar Karban Pesach, so over here, for sure, you're going to be chayav. You did sli afterwards. Good, you did sli afterwards. But the bottom line is, you cooked a raw Karban Pesach. However, in the other case of sla'o ve'achar kach bishlo, so in such a case, says the Gemara, hot sli'eshu. It is already sli'esh, meaning what? It's been roasted, and since it's been roasted, so maybe the subsequent bishul counts as what? Maybe this is a zero. It's already roasted, so bishul after tzlia is not doing anything. Why should you be chayv? Yet the Gemara says, no, you are chayv. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara tells us, this Gemara, Hamani Rav Yossi. This Gemara must be according to Rav Yossi. What is Rav Yossi's din? So the Gemara is starting to put together a little bit of a puzzle for us. It's telling us you have scenarios in Shas where you have different kinds of forms of cooking, one after the other, that might have halachic impact. So the Gemara tells Rav Yossi, what's Rav Yossi's halacha? That there's a halacha that on Leil Pesach, you have to eat matzah. How does the Torah refer to matzah? Lechem oni. What does lechem mean?
Baked.
Lechem means that which is baked. So to be yotze matzah, it must be baked. So now you have a shayla. Let's say I have a piece of matzah, a rakik, a wafer of matzah. So the Brisa says hashorui, that is soaked in water. What does soaking in water mean? Nothing. It means nothing. You're soaking it in water. Or it is mivushav. Or it is actually not soaked in water, but rather cooked in water. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, according to Rav Meir, yotze. You're yotze with matzah that has been cooked. Yotze. What is Rav Meir's thesis? What does he stand for? What is Rav Meir's message? That you yotze. That even though you cooked it, it's still called lechem. Why is it still called lechem? Because the subsequent bishul does not undermine the prior state of lechem. That is Rav Meir's sheet. And Rav Yossi says, no, ain yotze berkik hamavushal, you're not yotze. Why are you not yotze according to Rav Yossi, says the Gemara? Why not? Because now the bishul has converted the lechem into cooked. It has done something. It has overlaid, and now this is called cooked and not baked. So what does the Gemara suggest? Is that maybe this side of the Gemara, Tzliya and then Bishul, is in accordance with who?
Yossi.
With Rav Yossi. That works with Rav Yossi, who says that a different kind of Bishul is significant, overlays, does something. That's why you're not Yotze when it comes to matzah. And that's why you'll be chayiv in the case of Tzliya Achar Bishul, because the Bishul is a meaningful step. It's called Mivushav, and therefore you're not going to be Yotze. Yeah.
According to Rabbi Meir, Rav Meir says
Yotze because Bishul Achar Afia is a zero. You haven't done anything. Okay?
It's still bread.
So then the Gemara says, concludes in Maseches Psachim. So the Gemara concludes, no. Afilu Tema Rav Meir. This Gemara, in other words, you have a Havamina, like it's like Rav Yossi. It could even work according to Rav Meir. Why does it even work according to Rav Meir? Because Shani Hacha de Amar Kra Bashel Mivushal Mikol Makom. In other words, this Gemara can still work with Rav Meir because there's a special Gzeres HaKosef. And the special Gzeres HaKosef says a double Lashon of Bishul. Bashel Mevushal teaches me, I don't care when you did the Bishul. I don't care how you did the Bishul. No matter what, if you cook Karban Pesach, special Gzeres HaKosef, even after Tzliya, you're going to be chai. And therefore, this din could work according to Rav Yossi or according to Rav Meir. Havamina is Rav Yossi, Kamash Malan, special Gzeres HaKosev of Bashel Mevushal. Good?
Bashel Mevushal, which teaches what?
Which teaches me that even in a case of Bishul Achar Tzliya, Yemur Mevashel, the Bishul counts. When it comes to Karban Pesach, we do not tolerate any kind of Bishul whatsoever.
Because it means that Bishul is always Mevushal.
No. Bashel Mevushal, even a bishul, that is in Kol HaTorah Kula, is a bishul in Karban Pesach. Why? Because the Torah says any kind of bishul, even after Tzliya, is going to be awesome. Guy's a little dead today, Baruch Hashem. But!
Can we say that, or you're rejecting our Yossi?
We're saying that you don't have to narrow this Gemara to Rav Yossi. It works for Rav Yossi, but it can even work according to Rav Meir. Okay. That's Gemara number one. Gemara number two is the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Ches. And here the Gemara addresses what bracha do you make on cooked vegetables? We'll use carrot as our paradigm. The bracha on a carrot that is raw is certainly a bore pri. You could do that to Ving if you like. Ving, are you up? Are you here with us today? The bracha that you make on thing. The bracha that you make on... Okay, you too. Use your neck to support your head.
It gives me a better angle to write. My
notebook's tilted this way. Oh, really? Okay. Like this. Balance. Okay, very good.
Where does things bother you?
No, they don't bother me. No. Okay. Binyamin, where am I?
I was about to ask you that.
On carrots. Carrots! What bracha do you make on raw carrots to make a barbeyah dama? The Gemara says, Masechta Brachos Halacha Meches, that if you have shlokos, cooked carrots, there is a machlokes, what bracha you make on cooked carrots. What's the shaila? So again, the Gemara tells us, Rav Yochanan says, on cooked carrots you make a shahako. And Ula says, on cooked carrots, you make a bar piyadama. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes all about? And amazing. The machlokes, the Gemara says, shlokos, the bracha and shlokos bar piyadama or shahako is tolui in the machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Same exact machlokes. Why is it the same machlokes? Because according to Rav Yossi, what bracha will you make on cooked carrots? You'll make a shahako. Why? Because what does the cooking do? It's the event of cooking undermines, overrides what happened prior. So when it was out of the ground, the raw carrot, it's a bore pre-adama. The cooking is a processing stage that changes it, and therefore it's going to change its bracha to a shahakal. Just like cooking after afia does what? It changes it from lechem to that which is mevushel. However, according to Rav Meir, since cooking matzah does nothing, it's still called lechem. So too, cooking carrots does nothing, it's still called a borei pri ha'adama. That is the Gemara in Brachos. So now we have one, two, three sugyas. Three sugyas that are revolving around the same shali. The psachim sugya, you have a matzah sugya, and then you have a bracha and shlokos sugya. And once again, the Gemara says, no, you do not have to line this up like I just lined it up. Even Rav Yossi could learn that what? That the bracha that you'll make on vegetables, even Rav Yossi could learn the bracha on vegetables, borei pi adama, because perhaps the din of yotzin berakik hamevushal, the din of matzah that is cooked, is not a global halacha. Is not a generic halacha, but it's a halacha that is unique and specific to matzah. Because matzah has a requirement. What's the requirement of matzah? Really, bishul does not undermine the lechem status. It's still called lechem. But when you cook matzah, does it taste like matzah? Does it taste like matzah? Does it have that matzah crunch? It does not taste like matzah, and therefore says Rav Yossi, take a look at the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, name Rav Yossi, that Rav Yossi's halacha is, ad kan look at Rav Yossi, hasam el mishum deba inan ta matzah veleka. Matzah has a requirement of, you need tam matzah. You need the taste of matzah, and if you don't have the taste of matzah, then what? Is it lechem? It's lechem, but it's lechem that doesn't taste like? And that's why you're not yotzi. In other words, when Rav Yossi says you're not yotzi, berkik hasharui hamavushal, the reason you're not yotzi is because it doesn't taste like matzah. But is it lechem? It's lechem. So if I were to ask you, in light of this whole three sugyas, in light of the three sugyas that we have presented, Karban Pesach, matzah, Rav Yossi, Rav Meir, and shlokos. And assuming that we paskin like Rav Yossi, let's assume we paskin like Rav Yossi. My question is as follows, a very simple question. Are you allowed to put bread in your pot of soup on Shabbos?
Yes.
I'm not looking for a yes or no. If you want to answer, you will answer with a reasoned argument based on the facts, which means based on the sukkahs. Mr. Cohn, Gabriel.
Based off what we just said in the last sukkah, Rav Yossi could learn out that a carrot, let's say, is still a dharma because it doesn't change state. So what we learned by matzah, it only affects matzah if the taste changes. If it's still lechem, it's still lechem, and the state of the lechem wouldn't change. So if you put bread in your soup, and the rule of matzah doesn't apply there, it doesn't have to have a tam of lechem. Could still just be wet bread or whatever.
And therefore,
you are allowed to put bread into your soup because it doesn't change the taste.
Excellent. So what Gabe says as follows, is if the Gemara in Brachos is our conclusion, what does the Gemara in Brachos conclude for us? That what Rav Yossi's din say? Is it a global din or it's just a din in matzah? It's a just halach and matzah. That the reason that cooked matzah is no good is not because cooking undermines baking, but rather you don't have the taste of matzah. So does that have anything to do with my bread and my soup? No. And therefore, can I put my bread in my soup?
Yes.
So Gabe Cohen just expressed very, very well the position of the Ravya. Exactly the Ravya. The Ravya looked at this and he found the Gemara Brachos to be dispositive. The Gemara Brachos says Rav Yossi's halach is what?
Only by matzah.
But inan tam matzah v'leka is not a global din. According to Rav Yossi, what bracha will you make on cooked vegetables? L'maskanas ha-gemara and brachos. Hadama. According to Rav Yossi, is the Gemara Pesachim really, really relevant?
No,
why? Because only din in matzah. And so too, when it comes to Bishach Afia, on Shabbos, no problem. Excellent. Is there another alternative understanding?
Mordechai.
Who said the Mordechai? The Mordechai. How did the Mordechai understand? Do you see any contradiction in any Gemaras over here? What did the Gemara Pesachim do? Did it line up Rav Yossi with one side of the equation?
Yeah.
What did the Gemara in Brachos do?
I'm
sorry, what did the Gemara in Pesachim do? It said that according to Rav Yossi, there is Bishul Achar Afia. You cannot be Yossi with matzah. Why not? Because of Bishul, no. Because of Bishul Achar Afia, and therefore, what's the din if you cook your carbon Pesach after you roasted it? According to Rav Yossi, you're chayv. Does the Gemara Pesach make any mention of Bayinim Tam Matzav Aleka? No. In other words, you have a machlokes hasugyas. The conclusion of Brachos is Rav Yossi saying something unique to us. To matzah. But the conclusion of Pesachim, as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, is Ein, it is Yesh Bishul Achar Tzlia. If Yesh Bishul Achar Tzlia, or Yesh Afia, Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, Yesh Bishul Achar Tzlia, will you be over the Yesh of Karben Pesach? Will you be over the Yesh of Karben Pesach?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Because Rav Yossi says there's something meaningful going on after you bake the matzah and then you cook it. That's a meaningful thing. You've undermined the baking. So you have a machlokas asugyas. Now, what?
Don't we have an answer to that? That the carbon case is different because it's specifically carbon.
The carbon case is different that it could even go like who? Like Rav
Meir.
But if you're within Rav Yossi, there's two visions of Rav Yossi. What? Yafet, but within Rav Yossi, you're right, and you're saying good. But as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, according to Rav Yossi, this halacha of bread put in water. Matzah, cooked. We know it's you're not yotze. Why not? What does bracha say? Because you need tam matzah. What does psachim say?
How do we know that you're chayav for cooking bread? We only knew that in the case of...
According to Rav Yossi, if you cook matzah, are you yotze with matzah?
No.
No, why not?
Because matzah is an exception.
No. Bracha says, because matzah is an exception. Does Pesachim say that? Trust me, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. Okay, gentlemen, you guys, I'm getting cranky. Talking to myself over here. Open up the Mordechai. Open up the Mordechai. We're going to do it inside, and hopefully you'll be able to follow. Look at the Mordechai. It's Shin Beis in the Mordechai. And we're going to look at the second half, and we're going to do it inside. Let's start with the Af Al Pi. Literally halfway into the Mordechai says as follows. The Af Al Pi She'ein Bishul Achar Bishul, even though there is no Isser of Bishul Achar Bishul, Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Yesh Bishul Achar Afia. There is a prohibition of Bishul Achar Afia, Utzlia, Kedamrina B'Psachim, as we learned in our second Psachim, Tzla of Achar Bishul Chayef, Umuki L'Krav Yosi, okay. So basically what the Mordechai does is he sees the Gemara in Pesachim, and based on the Gemara in Pesachim and it's Shaka V'Taya and Rav Yossi, he concludes that Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, because that step is different than Bishul Achar Bishul. The Afia is different than Bishul. It's a different process. Now watch this. Now he's going to tell me a halacha. Bottom line, halachic psak. Hilkach. Yizahir Adam. A person should be careful. Shelo litain pas afui. He should not take baked bread. Af biklisheni. Shahayatza lettuce, and he shouldn't even put it in a cliche. You also shouldn't roast it. So therefore, if you have, for example, a piece of bread and you want to put it, maybe a challah, I don't even know, a challah on your blech to get toasty. Of course. Don't touch your blech. You'll burn your hand, but good. So the Mordechai says, Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, but a big chiddush, even in a? Even in a cliche. Whoa. So according to Mordechai, can I put bread into my pot of soup?
No.
For sure not. Can I put bread into my bowl of soup?
No.
So if the bowl is a klishlishi, then I'm okay. Why? But how is the bowl a klishlishi? If you count the ladle as a kli, then the bowl is a kli shlishi. But do you count the ladle as a kli? So the poskim write that if the ladle has been sitting in the pot for a bit, or you keep on scooping in and out, in and out, in and out, then the ladle becomes a kli rishon. And then your bowl is a kli sheni, and your bread in the soup is aser. It's aser. It's Bishul. So, a lot of times, mom, when she dishes out the soup, okay, let's count the ladle as a kli. But when she dishes out the soup, and then she's finished dishing out the soup, where's the ladle now? What does she do with the ladle when she's finished dishing? She puts it inside the pot. It stays in the pot. And then when Yankel Berel decides he wants doubles, so he gets himself more soup. So first of all, what's shaila number one? Can he pour more soup into when he has residue of old soup on the bottom? That's yesterday's shear. But shaila number two, now the ladle's been sitting where? In the soup. So the ladle is now a what? A kli rishon. So your bowl is now what? A kli sheni. And now your bread is? According to Mordechai problem. But there's not just the Mordechai in life. There's other people in life. There's also the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh is one of the Balei HaTosis. And the Rav Yoh writes, Umir Rav Yoh kasev de la milso. This is not true. The perikates and mevorchim. Ooh, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos Dav Lamaches. Maisila umasik. Dal korga lokom Rav Yosi elagabe matzah. Bin tamatzah bepiv. The leka. According to the Rav Yoh, what is the maskonas ha-gemara according to Rav Yosi? Is it psach or is it brachos? It's brachos. And if it does Rav Yosi have anything to do with this discussion? No, because the halach in what? In tamatza. And therefore he says, don't give me this. The halacha is that ein bishol achar afia. And could you put the bread even in the what? In a big pot? No problem. Why? Because have you rendered the bread edible by its subsequent cooking?
No.
And therefore, it's not called bishol. It's already been nefa, and therefore ein bishol achar afia. Okay, no. Open up, if you have it, please, the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Yud Ches Halacha He. And again, we're looking at this from a halachic perspective, but I want you to see, and the reason I'm doing this with you, is so you see how the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, etc., are not coming out of nowhere. They're coming out of sugyas. And the only way to really understand Shulchan Aruch is if you're lying deep in the sugyas. Shin yuches halachehe. Shin yuches halachehe. Take a look. Says the Mechaber. Now watch this. We're going to be medayik in the words. Yesh mi sha'omer. How many people say it? One. Yesh mi sha'omer. Yesh mi sha'omer. The davar shene'efa o nitzla, if it's been baked, or if it's been what? Roasted. In bishlo achakach b'mashke, yishbo mishum bishlo. There is an iser bishlo. Whose sheet is this? Mordechai. And then he says, chiddush number two. Ve'oser li tein pas, afilu b'kli sheni she'atza lettuce bo. And you can't put bread even into a sheni. Double chiddush. There's two chiddushim over here. Chiddush number one is yesh bishol achar afir. Chiddush number two is afilu be big kli sheni. Now, why is there bishol over here in a kli sheni? Apparently. This is what the Mishnah Berurah explains. Why is there bishol in a kli sheni? Usually there's no bishol in a kli sheni. When is there bishol in a kli sheni? We've seen so far one thing that gets cooked in a kli sheni. No, we haven't seen matzah get cooked in a kli sheni. What have we seen cooked in a kli sheni? Kulyas ha'ispin. Dag maliach. What was unique about the dag maliach kulyas ha'ispinin? It's called kale habishol with a kuf. It gets very, it's easy to cook, so even in a kli sheni. So what's the second chiddush of the Mordechai over here? Is that bread, which is very soft and porous, will even cook where? In a cliche. Double chiddush. Chiddush number one, yesh bishlach rafiyah. Chiddush number two, when it comes to bread, afilu be'er, big cliche. Now look at this. Then he says, the yesh matirin, a dangling participle. What does yesh matirin mean? Who said that? Louder.
There are those who permit.
Continue.
Oh, you want me to explain what they permit?
I want you to explain what the Shulchan Aruch says they permit.
I think you're saying there are
You cannot know! Admit that you cannot know!
I
Because there are two chidushim over here. What are the two chidushim? Yesh bisho achar afia and afilo beklisheni. And what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Yesh matirin. What's he saying? Is it yesh matirin that there's no din of ain't bisho achar afia? And who would that be like? The Rav Yah? And he's rejecting the whole din? Or yesh matirin what? That bread is not kali abisho. So in a klisheni it's mutter, but when is it aser? It's still aser in a klisha. Can you know from Shulchan Aruch? Can you know? You cannot know. But look what the Rama does. The Rama makes a move. The yesh matirin, haga biklisheni, meaning we're accepting the Rav Yah. We're accepting the Mordechai's chiddush, but only chiddush number one, not chiddush number two. And then he says, Rama does, V'yesh mekilim afilu b'kli rishon. And then there are those who make even at kli rishon. Who's that? That's the Rav Yah. And what's the bottom line? Psak halacha, v'nahagu lizoher lechatchila, shlo yitein pas afilu b'kli sheni, kozman sheyat lezbo. And the psak halacha is going to be like? No. Like the Mordechai. Noagu lechatchila? What does noagu lechatchila mean? Should you go ahead and put bread in your kli sheni? The answer is no. No. Why? Noagu lechatchila is all, we don't do it. If you did it, could you eat it? If you did it, are you allowed to eat it? Yes. Why? Because who you're relying on? You're relying on the Rav Yah. So b'di'eved, you can eat it. But lechatchila, don't do it. Rabosai, we will close with the following point.
I do that.
You do what? I know you do it. And I'm trying to now teach you something. Stop. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay, so Rabosai, let's do chazara. My wife, God bless her, likes to put noodles in the soup. Can she put noodles on Shabbos that are already cooked in the pot of soup? According to everyone, it's allowed. Why is it allowed according to everyone? Because noodles are cooked. So ain't bish shachar bish. That's no problem. No problem. Next, soup croutons. The yellow guys. Are you allowed to, I mean the yellow guys, what you call soup nuts?
Yes.
Shkede marak. Are you allowed to put them into the soup? You need to know how they are made. You need to know how they are made. If you don't know how they're made, you can't answer the question. How are they made? They're made by deep frying. If they're deep fried, when you're deep frying, that's you're bishul. In a lot of liquid. That's bishul. So therefore, can you throw your soup nuts into your soup?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. What about real croutons, like the salad croutons? What are salad croutons? They are bread, which is then deep fried. So now, you have an interesting shayla. Oh. So now, they had a bishul, and they had an afia. Afia, bishul achar, afia.
Yeah,
so,
but
now you're doing a bishul, after the afia. So if the bishul transformed them into mevushal, for sure mutter. So that would be the shita of the Mordechai. So the Mordechai now is coming out as a kula. But if they did not transform, then you're within the Rav Yah, and they're still called baked. But according to Rav Yah, there's no isra of bishachfi anyway. So you're okay with your croutons. Your croutons are good. Your bread and matzah, assuming your ladle is functioning as a klisheni, then your bread and matzah inside your bowl is fine. When you take your doubles, however, and your ladle becomes a kli rishon, if it's left in, then you have an iser lechatchila according to Shulchan Aruch. Then you have an iser lechatchila according to Shulchan Aruch, and that is the lay of the land on this shaila. What I want to impress upon you is we're learning Maseches Shabbos, and there's a lot of halacha lemaisa. The halacha lemaisa, you one line in Shulchan Aruch, one line. It's one line in Shulchan Aruch. It's one sif. Shin Yud Ches Halacha He is the Mordechai, is the Rav Yoz, the Sugim Psachim, is Brachas, is what's in one sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's like, now it's either that's like depressing to you, oh my gosh, I gotta know so much, or it's like exhilarating to you. Like if I learn properly, I can like really understand the sophistication of the halachic process. So for me, it's exhilarating. And to appreciate the depth of Chachmas HaTorah and Chachmas HaShem and what's involved, I think is, to me, is exhilarating. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Avi Cohen's going to share a quick vort, and then we're going to call it a day.